dedicate a baby this morning, Mr. Bronson Billingsley. Is there a picture of that boy? Oh, there he is. Look at that cute fella. If he'll make his way up here with Ma and Pa, isn't he a dandy? That's a good smile there. Valerie and Justin. There's a couple of three rows of people, I think, related to him. You got, boy, pulled out the stops there, didn't you? Hey, buddy, come here. Let's see if, can you lay him up on that shoulder right there? I'm going to, which way am I putting him? I'll put him on this arm. Come on. Hey, buddy, how we doing? I got to show you off first, so I got to get you situated, because there's the photographer. The paparazzi's here. Look, you got, we can't see your bow tie. You got your that little neck thing like your dad there. We got to get that. How we doing? Can everybody see him all right? Yeah. He's going to sleep through it if maybe. It's okay. You can sleep. Oh, I'll startle you. What good startle reflex. Make a note of that, will you? Like, wait, Dad doesn't have a beard. What's going on? I know, and the lights are shining in your eyes, too. I'm sorry, buddy. We try to fix this. Well, this is a joy for me to get to do this because Valerie's one of Sarah's good buddies from the nursery days here at Carbondale. And so you're going to make me cry because you're kind of teary this morning. So it's just real sweet. And we've had the privilege of watching her grow up and grow up in this church, and Ken and Susan and her sister and fam. Uh-oh, the eyes opened. And look, you went from being out there like, whoa, I woke up and I'm in front of all these people. You're doing good, buddy. But we're just blessed, and you guys are so blessed. And Justin, we're glad you came along into this life and into this church, and you're just a precious brother. So God's blessed you with this beautiful... Hi, buddy. How we doing? God blessed you with this beautiful gift that we're holding today. And as we say, with great blessing comes great responsibility. Somebody has to not just change diapers and figure out what blue shoes are going with what and all that kind of stuff, but the important stuff about how we're going to live our lives and what we're going to value and what we're going to love and what we're going to avoid and what we embrace and what we turn loose of, all those things, he's going to learn that from you guys. And boy, it's a big responsibility. I always think about Samson's mom and dad saying, get that man of God back here and tell us how to raise this boy. You know, that's kind of what happened because the angel had come to him. And I think that's kind of the prayer of dedication is like, Lord, show us how to raise our son. And the Bible says, raise up a child in the way he should go. Find out the way the Lord wants him to go and then raise him up to pursue those gifts and all those things. And he won't depart from that. And I know that's what you guys are going to do. But I asked that question today, that is it your intent to raise him in a godly Christian home? And you're going to do everything you can to bring him to Jesus? All right. Well, we're going to accept our responsibility as pastors and leaders and grandmas and grandpas and all those things. But we know ultimately that responsibility rests in you. And I got to say, too, you know, I don't ever call anybody to anything God doesn't call them to. But I acknowledge today the gifts and calling of God that rests kind of on this family. There's preachers on both sides of the family. Justin himself holds credentials. His dad's a pastor. He's been a youth pastor. And then your sis is married to a preacher, Bible college professor, all those kind of things. There's preachers on both sides of the family. And so you've got a pretty special heritage there, buddy. You'll learn about it as you get older and you'll meet all those people. And they're going to tell stories about some of those elders and how they served the Lord and how they were faithful. And it's going to inspire you. And who knows what wonderful things God has for you. You know that? So, yeah, you're looking far into, maybe you're seeing yourself up there. You're looking far into the future. But God's got some good things in store for you. I know that. Yeah. So there's a smile. So we're going to pray and dedicate this man to the Lord today. Okay? All right. Lord, I thank you for this precious little boy that I hold in my hands today, Lord. I'm kind of looking at that little left hand that's got a pretty firm grip on my thumb right now. And that little hand is going to grow and then, yeah, growing to be a big hand, and someday he's going to hold Dad's. He'll hold Dad's hand, and he'll walk the journey of life with Mom and Dad, and grow up, and maybe have a son of his own someday. And Lord, we just acknowledge your plan and your purpose, and how good it is for this family, for these families, Lord, and for the blessing that's come to Valerie and Justin to have this precious young man in their lives. I thank you, Lord, that he's got a strong, healthy body. I pray that he has a sharp mind that'll be sensitive to instruction and correction, that he'll be wise even beyond his years, because he's going to know your word, and your word even causes us to be wiser than our teachers sometimes. That, Lord, you're going to bless him with strength, and you've got good things in store for him all the days of his life. I pray, Lord, for his mom and dad today. I pray you make them the husband and wife you've called them to be, Lord. That is, as Bronson grows up, he's going to know, well, this is what a man of God looks like. My dad's a man of God. This is how I'm supposed to live. Here's the things to value. Here's the way to walk, is because he sees it modeled every day. He'll know how to treat a woman because he sees the loving kindness shown from his dad to his mom. Lord, you'll help Valerie to be the woman of God you've called her to be, the wife and mother. And so he'll say, well, I want to marry a woman like my mom that loves Jesus and loves her husband. Yeah. He's going to grow up saying, I want to serve Jesus. I pray you'll keep him from sickness or harm or evil in the world. And I pray when he reaches the age of accountability, he'll ask Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of his life. It'll be the most natural thing in the world for him to say, I want to live for Jesus, because he'll know that you're the one that's brought such grace and joy into his home and into the life of his parents. So I bless this boy today that I hold. I bless him, Lord, and I declare your purposes and your great grace to be upon him, Lord, that you'll keep him, that you'll watch over him, Lord, that you'll bless this family. There'll be such favor and joy that others will look to them and say, boy, what a great family that loves Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for that today. And I just know you got something good in store. And so we dedicate Bronson Doyle Billingsley to you. And we pray the Holy Ghost will overshadow him all the days of his life, that you'll walk in great blessing and great anointing with the favor of God upon you and upon all that God has for you. You're going to be blessed. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. Amen. You're a good boy. I like all those little grins I got and all that stuff. Let's see if I can do a better job of handing you back than we did on the delivery system here. So there we go. I don't know why I had to cry this morning. I just had to. That goes to you guys. I love you both. Proud of you. There you go, guys. Thanks for being here. And, yeah, don't trip over a speaker. Could be my old age. It's just... okay. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad the rest of you are here, too. So, yeah, thanks for coming. I know friends and family showed up to support them, and that's great. Turn to Matthew 14. I'll tell you what, I try not to run past this sermon today because I'm just excited to come tonight and worship. I tell you what, if you're feeling bad, you know there's two things that will make you feel better. One, I know some of you argue with this, but if you remember Steve Martin way back in the day, he always said it was impossible to be mad with banjo music. You just need a little, right, Roy? Am I telling the truth, right? Just need a little banjo music. All of a sudden, and everything kind of perks up. And then if you're having a bad day, I'm telling you what, if you just walk in and Brian Jones is going to be here tonight sitting on that Hammond organ over there, and when all you need, I just need like a few little strains and cranking that thing up, and I'm having a better day. I'm just telling you. And so it's worth it just to hear Brian play the organ, but the choir is going to be great tonight. So I'm excited. All right, Matthew 14, we're looking at another storm that Jesus was in with the disciples. And Jesus in Matthew 14 had just been told about the execution of his cousin, John the Baptist. And Matthew tells us that when Jesus heard about this, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place, probably somewhere kind of on the southeastern shore of of the Sea of Galilee, headed there. It wasn't as populated. He was getting away from the villages that kind of were on the western and around the northern edge of the sea. And so probably headed that direction. And people, when they heard where he had gone, they followed him on foot. And it resulted in Jesus healing the sick and taking a day to teach. And that was also when the people didn't have any place to eat. There were no villages, no places to go. Jesus ended up feeding 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children. So the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish happened that day. And finally, then, after all of this exhausting day, the Bible says in Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So as we talked last week about storms, another storm had come up, and this was typical on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus likely just needed a little time to himself away from the press of the crowd and the questions of the disciples. He'd been praying for the sick. They'd fed all these people, all these miracles and things that had happened. And then the disciples are constantly asking him questions and trying to figure things out. And I think Jesus thought, I just need a little time here. And so he was going to spend some time with the Father in prayer. It was always kind of his response to exhaustion in ministry. It was like, I'll just get quiet and be with the Father. The disciples did as Jesus instructed. They sailed for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We don't know how Jesus planned to meet up with them. He just said, you go ahead and I'll meet you on the other side somehow. Maybe another boat was going to be available to him, or we don't know. As we said, storms often came up on the sea. Once again, this happens. Verse 24 says they were buffeted by the waves. The Greek language indicates it's a little more sinister than that. The boat was once again on the verge of being swamped and just destroyed, basically. The wind, the Bible says the wind literally says it tortured or tormented them. So buffeted by the wind just means it was really just about to tear things apart. So it was a serious situation for the disciples on the boat. Matthew goes on to say then that during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. There's something you don't see too often, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Appreciate the good English there. In the midst of this storm, Jesus came walking on the water. So it's a miracle for sure, because as you know, none of us walk on water. But it was a frightening scene for the disciples. The Bible says it was during the fourth watch of the night, which is somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So the disciples had been wrestling in this boat, trying first with the sail and then with the oars, trying to manage this somehow to get across. And they couldn't go back. They couldn't go forward. They're just kind of stuck out there in the boat. They had battled from evening when Jesus sent them and put them on the boat to somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. They've got to be exhausted by now. It's dark out. The storm has kind of hidden the stars and the moon, so there's no light coming from anywhere. The wind and the waves are blowing up in their face, and then suddenly they see something or someone coming toward them walking on the water. You can't imagine how frightening that is, but nobody's going to expect anybody to come walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. There were ancient legends of spirits that would come up out of the ocean and drag people down to the depths. And the Jews were not exactly mariners. They didn't go off to sea like, you know, heading off. That's going off the Mediterranean somewhere. And, you know, you're out days on end without seeing water or whatever. That wouldn't happen. And they were on Grand Lake. OK, that's what the Sea of Galilee is. They could see from one side to the other if it was clear. So it's a huge, big lake when they called it a sea. So but here they are kind of blinded in all of this, and they see someone coming at them, and they assume then it's some kind of ghost. Maybe they had heard legends or something. But in the midst of their terror, they hear a familiar voice calling to them from the storm. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. It is I. And someone here may need to hear those words this morning. You've been battling against the storms for too long now, and you're exhausted, and you're just ready to throw in the towel. You've done everything you could. The sails are torn, and the oars are just, the blisters in your hands, and you just don't think you can row anymore, and you think, this is it. And then all of a sudden you go, and wait a minute, I thought that was the worst. I thought it couldn't get any worse, but I'm pretty sure there's a sea monster coming to kill me now or whatever. And so you see something coming at you and like, well, this is it. It's all going to be over now. And instead of something destroying you, if you listen, you're not going to hear the growl of the monster. You'll hear, that sounds like a voice. And when you listen a little closer, a little more intently, it turns out to be a familiar voice. It's somebody calling you and saying to you, it's going to be okay. Be encouraged. I'm here with you. And we're going to get to the other side. Notice it says in the storm, Jesus went out to them. He was coming to them on purpose. He was coming because they were in trouble, because they were in need. He was coming to them because He loved them and He cared about them. And let me tell you today, Jesus cares about you, and I believe He's coming to you this morning, even though you're in a storm. You're not here by accident this morning. He's coming to rescue you. He's coming to deliver you, to save you. Jesus said He'd come to seek and to save the lost. He's coming to find you lost out in the storm. He's coming to rescue you, and it's going to be all right. So Jesus went walking to them, walking on the water in the midst of a storm. That's a miracle, all right, but that's Jesus. That's just how He does things. He speaks peace and assurance to them, told them not to be afraid because He was with them. And that could be the end of the story right there. Jesus will do whatever He has to do to get to you, to rescue you. He proved that when He left heaven and was born as a baby in Bethlehem and lived a sinless life and died this tragic death on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. If He'll go that far to save you, walking on the water is nothing to Him, all right? If He'll go that far to deliver you, then this is a walk in the park. Jesus is coming to you. But something else happens that we need to see. Because Peter, and we know he's kind of impetuous, whatever, but Peter does something that I really can't understand. He decides to try something, whether it was bravery or craziness or just what. But Peter says, Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water. There's just layers of things that seem odd about that. And I don't have time to go into all that. But first of all, Lord, if it's not You, I'm not sure what the flip side of this was. Lord, if it's You, prove it and bid me to come to You and walk on the water. If it's not You, well, then I don't want to. I got nothing for You. I got nothing to say. You know, if it really is a sea monster, there's a couple of things about that. If it's a ghost or a monster, I can't expect Him to tell the truth. So what's the point in phrasing it like a question? Lord, if it's You, if You really think it's a monster, He's going to say, yeah, it's Me, it's Jesus, come on out here. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. If you hear a voice, yes, me hearty. You know, it's a pirate. Don't go out there, all right? Am I right? All right, okay. I've always wanted to work in me hearty somewhere in a sermon, so I got it this morning. I had to go a long way to get there, though, Brian. But anyway, so why are you even saying, Lord, if it's You? I mean, I need more confirmation. But for whatever reason, Peter just says, Lord, if that's really You, bid me come to You. And he says, come on. And Peter, maybe foolishly or whatever, the Bible says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. You of little faith, He said, why did you doubt? And notice he did have faith, just a little faith, but he had more than everybody else because nobody else got out of the boat. But you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Now, you would think a guy, you know, Simon, the son of Jonas, his name was Simon, but Jesus named him Peter, which means the rock. So you might think that a guy whose nickname now was Rock might think about being a little hesitant before he climbed out on the water. Rock, water. Rocks are not known for their flotation ability. And so maybe if you're called rock, the idea of I think I can walk on water, that might not be a good idea right there. So, and the other thing is, Peter grew up on the Galilee. He was a fisherman. This is what he did for a living. He had been in and out of boats and on that sea of Galilee his entire life. He had jumped out of boats. We'll read about him jumping out of the boat in the last chapter of John, where he jumps out and kind of runs to shore to get to Jesus after the resurrection, all the same. So Peter had jumped out of boats before and always into the water, and never once, not one time, had he ever been able to walk on water. So why didn't somebody, his brother or somebody else on board, say to him, Peter, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? We won't let you. He's lost his mind. And why they didn't restrain him and keep him in the boat. But something about Jesus walking on the water made Peter want to be where Jesus was. Something about it made Peter believe that all things become possible if Jesus is there. It made him believe if Jesus is involved in it, then somehow Jesus changes the very nature of things. We've got Jack and Helen Manley are here. It's good to see you guys this morning. We got veteran pastors. I got Peter sitting back here, and he's a theologian. So there's smarter people. Well, Brian's smarter than me too. There's smarter people than I am here. Well, most of you are smarter than me. But here's my point. Somebody could give some thought to how this works, that Jesus changes the very nature of things. I mean, like, at some level that's beyond my ability to think about. So he changes the nature of things. He makes it possible to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and change the very nature, the molecular structure or something, so that he can feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He changes the nature of things so that crippled people, the lame walk and the deaf hear and the blind see and even the dead live again. He changes the nature of death and reconstitutes it into life. He changes the nature of things, and he changes the nature of people, and he changes even the nature of nature so that with a word, storms calm down and the wind dies down and the waves return to calm. And Peter must be thinking, if that's the Lord, then he can change the nature of water to give it substance. He can turn a liquid into a solid somehow, or he can somehow make my nature different. But one way or another, if that's Jesus, he changes the nature of things and I'll be able to get to him. And somehow the God who creates everything is able to change the nature of things in behalf of his children. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water, change the nature of things. And Jesus says, come on. And Peter climbs out of the boat onto the surface of the water and begins to walk on water toward Jesus. He's doing pretty good, too. I mean, better than everybody else in the universe, because he's actually walking on water. Only Jesus was doing better at it. I'm figuring, you know, there's always critics. I'm figuring there are guys on the boat that are, because isn't this the way we do? This is human beings. They're in the boat hollering suggestions at him. Take smaller steps, you know. You're going to drown. They're just hollering little things like, guys, you're in the boat. Who's walking on water? Knock it off. But that's how they do. Watch out for the waves. You know, I mean, really, you're being helpful. I'm walking on water, so just stay in the boat. Anyway, that has nothing to do with my sermon. I just find it fascinating what's going on in the boat. So Peter climbs out. He's walking there, making good time too. And then it says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter must have thought, what was I thinking? I mean, I started out pretty good, but you know, I'm walking on water, and I can't walk on water. I mean, think about it. Peter was doing the impossible at the invitation and command of Jesus. But sometimes, even when we're doing what seems to be impossible, obeying his commands, it's possible to doubt and to kind of surrender to fear and to stop trusting and believing. And Peter began to look at where he was, at the wind and the waves. And maybe he started to think about what he was actually doing and the impossibility of it. And suddenly he kind of succumbs to his fear and begins to sink. And then he did what all of us would do. He cried out, Lord, save me. I always think, you know, I don't know if kids even, I don't guess children watch cartoons anymore because, I don't know, they just apparently stare at devices on their that they carry around. But anyway, when I was a kid, many of us were educated by our cartoons. It's where we learned classical music, right? Really? None of the rest of you? Aaron got it, right? Absolutely. He learned all the classics from Bugs Bunny. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, so we learned classical music from Bugs Bunny. We learned about gravity and some of the laws of nature and stuff from watching cartoons and stuff. So it was one of the things, I always kind of see this with Peter, that kind of the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. It's kind of where I always kind of see this with Peter, that because Wile E. Coyote would, the Roadrunner would kind of, run across like from here to the chair, and he would go so fast that he could bridge the gap and be over there. And Wile E. Coyote would follow him out there, and then he would only get like three steps, and then he would kind of stop suspended in air and kind of look around and then kind of do that little, and then and there'd be a little wisp of smoke and stuff, and he would fall to his death, and the Roadrunner would be in the... Y'all didn't watch the same cartoons I did, apparently. But anyway, that's kind of what I think about Peter, that he steps out there, and he's thinking, I'm doing pretty good. And, and then he realizes, hey, I'm walking on water. Well, I can't walk on water. And then you actually hear the little, and then he starts to go down, and Jesus, help me. And Jesus grabs him then, and Mr. Wizard, help me. That's another cartoon. But anyway, and he pulls him back up. So he succumbs to the fear. He's suddenly overthinking this and cries out, Lord, save me. Immediately, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. There was no delay because there was no time for delay. Jesus rescues him, brings him safely to the boat. They climb on board. The storm ends. The calm is restored, and they sail on to Gennesaret on the other side. So now that's the story. So let me point out a few things real quick about how to walk through a storm, if you may need to know. If you're in a storm, first thing, do whatever you have to do to get to Jesus. Understand, not everybody's supposed to walk on water. Not everybody's called to do that. Unless Jesus calls you to climb out of the boat and walk on water, that's probably not, that shouldn't be your, well, here's plan, here's my A plan, all right? I'd put that down into the J, K, J, L, and M, somewhere down in there, because that's probably a last resort to actually think about walking on water. It may not be necessary, but here's what you need to hear. The place you need to be in a storm is to be as close to Jesus as you can get. Not everyone can walk on water, but everyone can move toward Jesus. So I don't know what he's calling you to, and I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm telling you, one way or another, you can get to Jesus. Whether that's swim or float or try walking on water or dog paddle or whatever you got to do, but you need to get to Jesus. Do whatever you have to do to get to him. Peter may have thought, we're getting swamped in this boat and we're going to die. And if I'm going to die, I'd rather die trying to get to Jesus than die sitting in this boat doing nothing. It's kind of like the lepers in the Old Testament outside the city of Samaria that said, why sit we here until we die? If we stay here, we'll starve with the people inside the walls. Let's go toward the enemy camp and maybe they'll at least give us some food before they execute us. But we've got to do something, because if we stay here, we'll die. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And this is a word for someone this morning. It's time you got up and started moving toward Jesus. Because the storm that you're in, you're not going to make it if you sit still in the storm. Do whatever you have to do, but get yourself to Jesus. Trains, planes, whatever, just do what you got to do to get to Jesus. Move towards him. Surrender your life to him. Surrender all the mess to him. Give the storm to him, but get to Jesus. It's the most important thing. Here's the second thing. If you're in a storm, don't focus on the waves or listen to the wind. Because you can just become fixated on the storm and looking at the size of the waves and listen to the howling of the wind, and it just keeps you frightened and hunkered down in the bottom of that boat. Your focus needs to be on Jesus and not on the wind and the waves. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. The storm is not your problem. You say, well, I don't know how you can say that because the storm's about to kill me. The storm is not your problem. The presence or absence of the storm is not the issue now. The issue is whether you're going to obey Jesus and get to him or not. That's all you need to worry about. I don't know how you're going to solve this. You don't either. But if you get to Jesus, that's the answer. If you get to him, move towards him, that's the solution. Don't let the storm distract you from Jesus. Stay on point. Stay focused on what's important, and that's Jesus and obeying him. He's calling you to come to himself. If Jesus said, come on, then do it. Get out of the boat and move there. Well, I'm just a little uncertain and I'm waiting on the right time and the circumstances and I've been checking the weather and I just need the weather to be right. Well, listen, again, you're talking about walking on water and that's impossible. So if it's impossible, impossible is not made less impossible if the weather's better, all right? Your chances of walking on water are not better if it's calm than it is when the storm's blowing and the waves are 15 feet high. Impossible is going to be impossible. What you need to acknowledge is, I can't do that unless I'm walking with Jesus and He's enabling me and giving me the power. So it's not about the storm. It's not about meteorology. It's not about trying to judge my, dispersion over whatever. You're going to sink like a stone unless Jesus bids you come. And if He does, you're going to glide over it regardless of the water. This is about obedience. It's about faith in action. It's about getting to Jesus and obeying Him. Keep your focus on Him, not on the storm, and keep walking. And then if you're in a storm, don't focus on your feet either when you're walking on water. What I'm talking about, we focus on the wind, we focus on the waves, and then we just start looking down, you know. I'm just focusing on my feet because I gotta watch where I put my feet. Really? Because they're on water, it's not going to matter. But if you do, you start thinking about what your feet are doing. You start thinking about what you're asking them to do. You're asking them to walk on water, which is impossible. You focus on what they are walking on, water, and you start to sink. Listen, the only place to look when you're walking on water is straight into the eyes of Jesus. The one who called you, the one who enables you to do the impossible. Don't focus on your lack. Don't focus on your inability. Don't focus on the wind or the waves. Don't focus on what you're walking on. You don't have to worry so much about whether your feet are lining up just right. Don't focus on your ability or focus on His ability. Focus on His power. He's the one who is doing immeasurably more than all you can think or ask or imagine. Remember I said last week, He's the one who exceeds our expectations. Don't underestimate Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. Walk towards Him. He's the one who's coming to you. He's the one who's calling you. And if you keep your eyes on Him, it's going to be all right. A few years ago, I was in Toronto and I'd gone up in the, whatever that building is, I don't know, Yvonne told me what it was and I've already forgotten. But they've got one of those deals, you go all the way to the top and then they've got a glass floor that you can walk out and stand there on the glass floor and look down. Eddie, have you been there? You're nodding your head. Yeah. So you look down, it's a, I don't know, 45 miles down. I don't know how far it is down. Anyway, it's real high and it's real scary. And that's not my deal. Airplanes don't bother me, but I don't stand on the ledge. This is about as far up as I'm going to get. And some of you are worried that I'm going to fall off. But that's not what I do. So I'm seeing all these kids. They're walking out there and there's a camera that kind of takes a picture so you can, you know, you can do that. And it looks like you're falling and because there's nothing below you. And so I'm watching them and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a grown man and I ought to be able to walk out there, but that's just not why. I mean, who am I going to, because I was there by myself, who am I going to prove this to? And I'm trying to kind of mentally calculate that guy probably weighs, 100 pounds, and that guy's 200, about 600 pounds. Well, I'm in the clear there, so none of your business how much I weigh. But anyway, so I'm thinking, I ought to be able to walk out there. And it was just like I finally just thought, I'm going to make myself walk out there, stand there for a second, and then get back over here where God created us to be on something besides something that's glass. So I finally then kind of managed to ease out there while the children are running past you or whatever and walked out, stood there for just a second and stepped back like, okay, maybe I didn't conquer fear, but I did at least get a foot out there on this thing and I'm all right somehow or another. If you just look down all the time, but I thought, if I'd had somebody that said, don't look down. That's what they always tell you when you're getting out there. Don't look down. Just look right at me. Just look right at me. And I kind of got that feeling. Jesus is saying to Peter, don't look down. Just look right at me. Just look right at me. Just keep walking. You can do this. You're going to make it. Just look right at me and we're going to be all right. And folks, that's what He's saying to you today. Don't get all worried about this other stuff. Just look at Jesus and we're going to get across. The writer of Hebrews said, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We're going to get there if we keep our eyes on Him. Here's the next thing. If you're in a storm, remember Jesus is the master of the storm. I said it last Sunday, all of us are going to go through storms. They're just inevitable. It's part of living on a fallen planet that the planet itself is groaning, waiting for redemption. All of creation's waiting for something, a new master, a new life, a new redeemed existence. But knowing we're going to encounter storms doesn't mean we give up hope, not when we know the master of the storm. And to know that Jesus can calm the wind and the waves of a storm, and that He can even walk on the water in a storm, that lets me know there's nothing that Jesus and I can't handle, with the emphasis being on Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus grabbed Peter, kept him from drowning, and then I think arm in arm, because the Scripture says, and when they climbed into the boat, and I think they help him up in there, I think they walked back to the boat arm in arm. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'd rather be arm in arm with Jesus in the middle of a storm in a raging sea than to be on dry land without Him. I want to be wherever Jesus is, because I'm going to make it through with Him. He's the master of the storm, but more importantly for you this morning, He's the master of your storm, and He's going to see you through. Link arms with Him, and if He says, let's walk, let's walk. Get on back there, climb in the boat, and let's get to the other side. If you're in a storm, next thing, remember at His command, you can do all things. Because Peter sure couldn't walk on water, and neither can you. But at Jesus' command, Peter did the impossible, and so can you. And Peter learned he could do more than he ever thought possible by trusting Jesus, by moving toward Him in a storm, by obeying His command. And some of you this morning, you've been thinking, you just can't do it. You can't make it. It's just not going to be possible. You can't move toward Him. You're overwhelmed by this. This storm is the killer. It's too much. It's the last straw. You're just not going to make it. But you haven't gotten out of the boat yet. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Yes, you can. Jesus is coming to you in your storm. And He's speaking to you today. And He's telling you, be encouraged. I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. We're going to do this. And now He's inviting you to get out of the boat and come toward Him and to walk. And you say, but I don't think I can do this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. You can do this. You can get through this. You can make it, because at His command, nature changes. At His command, things are different. At His command, you can walk on water. You can get through the storm. You can survive this, because Jesus says you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's the next thing. If you're in a storm and you're sinking, remember Jesus will rescue you in spite of your doubt and fear. And I think it's important for you to see this. Peter didn't die from a lack of faith. And if you've been here for a while, then you know I get a little weary with folk that, well, you know, if he just had more faith, he wouldn't have died. Well, you know what? Peter didn't die because of a lack of faith. He didn't die from that at all. In fact, he ended up dying for his faith, but not from a lack of it. And Jesus didn't wait for Peter to disappear under the waves a few times before He rescued him in order to teach him a lesson about faith. Had enough, Peter? You know, he's gone down three times. I just wanted you to know, you're going to have more faith before I rescue you. Just a little lesson for you there, buddy. And He pulled him out. It says immediately Jesus caught him and rescued him before he sank under the waves. Why? Because Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus saved him because He cared about him, and Peter needed saving. And I'm just telling you, He'll catch you if you call on Him. You say, yeah, but I've doubted, and I don't know that I've got enough faith. Well, Jesus asked why Peter doubted and why he had so little faith, but he did have faith, and He caught him anyway. I'm not telling you that faith's not important. I'm telling you that if you've decided, well, God can't help me, or He won't help me, or you've decided that here's the reason why, it's because I didn't have enough faith. If you've got enough faith as Peter did, and Jesus said to him, you didn't have much, did you? But it was enough to get out of the boat. I'm telling you, it's enough to get you through the storm and to get you where you need to be. He's there for you in spite of your doubt, in spite of your fear, and He'll get you safely to the other side. And here's the last thing. If you're in a storm, remember there's a revelation coming. Because they climbed into that boat, Peter and Jesus, with everyone's eyes bugging out except for Jesus. I've already accused Peter of being like Wile E. Coyote, and now I kind of picture him a little bit like Barney Fife, all right? Just kind of a little bit of a doing that sniffing thing and kind of pulling his gun belt up like, oh yeah, oh, I knew all along we were going to make it. It's amazing out there. Walking on water, I'm telling you, that's the way to go. You know, give it that kind of deal right there. When then really it's like, woo, man. I mean, privately he had to be saying, all right, Lord, if I ever say to you, if that's you, bid me come, don't just say, Peter, forget about it. Remember the last time. I don't want to do that again. Somehow or another, it's just overwhelming. But there was something that happened in the midst of all that. They learned something. They saw something. They knew something they hadn't known before. Doubts got settled in the storm and in Jesus' provision. It was plain. There was no denying who it was. They saw him feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they went, well, boy, that's amazing, isn't it? They'd seen him do all these miracles and they went, wow, I wonder who that guy is. But in that storm and with their buddy Peter walking on water, when they get back in the boat, they say, truly, this man is the Son of God. Doubts got settled in the midst of the storm. Listen, what I'm telling you is there's a revelation coming to you in the midst of the storm. And before or by the time your storm is over or by the time he gets you out of that storm, you're going to know some things you couldn't have known any other way. Before it's over, you're going to know Jesus in a way you didn't know him before. Before this is over, you're going to know his provision. You're going to know his touch. You're going to know his gentle voice. You're going to recognize his ways and the sound of his voice like you've never known it before. You're going to know and experience his faithfulness. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted by the wind and the waves. Don't focus on the impossibility of the task. Don't even stare at your feet. Focus on the master of the storm, the one who says, come walk with me on the waves. Come link arms with me and we'll get in the boat and we'll go to the other side. Come link arms with the one who says you can do all things through Christ. And if you've succumbed to doubt and fear along the way, call on him because he'll still rescue you. And if the wind is blowing up in your face today, and if you've started to sink a little bit, listen, a little seawater won't hurt anybody. He's going to rescue you today. Call on him. Link arms with him and we're going to make it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Somebody this morning, this is your day. This is your day to climb out of the boat and come to Jesus, to start moving towards him. If you're here this morning and you're in a storm, if this resonates with you, I want you just to slip out and come and stand here at the morning. I want the privilege of praying for you this morning. Come on and join me right here. Bryce is coming to the keyboard this morning. If you're here and you're in a storm, I want you to come right now because I want to pray for you. I know we did this last Sunday, but there are folk in a storm this morning. Some of you are facing something you've never faced before. And I'm telling you, this is your day. Somebody, this makes sense to you, like it doesn't to the person next to you, that it's time for you to get out of the boat and to move towards Jesus. It's different for you today. This is the day for you to get out of the boat and do whatever you have to do to get to Jesus. For you, that may just mean walking down here in front of everybody. I don't know. But this is your day that you're saying, you know what? I can't stay on board this little boat anymore. I can't sit here like this. And I know it's like, well, I don't want people gathering around me, all that stuff. I know, but what did I say? I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get out of the boat and get to Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. There's some more that need to come this morning. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray for these friends in just a minute. But Father, I pray in these final moments, you'll speak to somebody's heart because there are people here that need to be down here to pray together. There are people that need to be down here because it's time for them to get out of the boat and move towards Jesus. They've been living in some stuff that this morning they're saying, I can't live that way anymore. I can't battle in that anymore. I can't dwell in that anymore. I got to get out of there. I got to get out of there and I got to get to Jesus. I got to get out of this boat and get to Jesus. What I said a minute ago, I'd rather be in the middle of the storm with Jesus than be on dry ground where I got a paycheck and everything else and not have Jesus. I've got to have Jesus. I got to get to him this morning. And this is your moment. Somebody else, this is an act of surrender on your part that you're saying, I'm getting out of this boat and I'm walking down there and I'm moving towards Jesus. Because remember I said before, not everybody's supposed to walk on water. Not everybody can walk on water, but everybody can do something to get themselves to Jesus. This is your moment this morning.
Badly we want to get to Jesus. How important in your life today is it that you come face to face with Jesus for an accounting hour of the life that you're presenting to the world that you call yourself a Christian? That means to be Christ-like. And He'll take you through many storms to perfect you and make you like Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen. Lord, You're calling us. Some of us, we're in a storm right now. We're trying to figure out how we got here, Lord. But You're calling us. You're calling us through the storm, through the wind, through the waves. You're calling us to something else, Lord. There's provision in this. There's stuff being lost from us in the storm that we didn't need anymore. You that are standing here, the Lord's speaking to somebody. There's stuff that's being lost in the storm. You know, something dropped overboard and you think, oh, I got to have that. And then you realize, you know what? That's been keeping me in bondage for a long time. I didn't need that after all. That's been controlling my life. I didn't need that after all. That was pulling me to hell. I didn't need that after all. God's setting me free of some stuff. There's revelation that's coming to you in the midst of the storm. It's okay. It's all right. I know there's been loss. You think, I may not be the same person that I was when I went into this storm. I know that's the good news. That's the good news. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, He's going to change your nature too. And He'll give you a new heart. And He'll give you a new hope. And He'll give you a new peace. And He'll give you a new direction for your life. There's something taking place this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that You will just speak into the hearts of all these that are standing here. Some of you, if you got friends down here, you may want to come and just stand with them and pray with them. Some of you pastors, others, feel free to come. Just put a hand on their shoulder this morning and encourage them. To just let them know, Lord, I know today that You're with us. We're going to get out of the boat in the storm. And we're going to follow You in obedience, Lord. Oh, God, we need to follow You in obedience. Lord, there's some things that are coming off of us today. They're not just being jerked out of our hand. We're going to drop them overboard. Folks, there's some stuff you need to let go of today. This is a good time and a good place to do it. Lord, I'm going to drop it over the side in this storm. I'm never going to come hunting for it again because I don't need it in my life. There's addiction and bondage to things that you don't need in your life. Let the storm have it. And you put your eyes on Jesus. Lord, I let go of it today in the name of Jesus. I let go of it. I surrender it to You today in the name of Jesus. Take it out of my life. I don't want it there. I'm going to let the storm have it and I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to let the storm have it. I'm going to walk in freedom. Lord, You're going to take over in my life. I surrender it to You today, Lord. I surrender this to You today. I surrender my life to You, Lord. Oh, God, take me just like I am. Save me. I'm getting out of the boat. I didn't know I could walk on water, but I can do all things through Christ who delivers me and strengthens me today. I surrender to You today, Lord. I surrender to You today, Lord. Get us through this storm today. Get us through the storm today, Lord. Get us through the storm today. Oh, God, we speak peace in the midst of the storm today. We speak peace in the midst of the storm, Lord. We speak peace and surrender in the midst of the storm. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We surrender it to You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we surrender to You in the midst of this storm. In the midst of this storm, Lord, we surrender it to You. You're going to take us through. That's how faithful and good You are, Lord. You'll take us there. You'll take us there. You'll take us there, Lord. You'll take us where You want us to be. You've got it for us, Lord. It's going to be all right. So we trust You today. We trust You. We trust You today, Lord. We trust You today. We trust You today, Lord. We trust You today. Oh, Lord, would You examine your heart this morning? Is there something that you need to turn loose of in the storm you've been going through? Is there something right now? You know what? That thing, it's a weight that's going to weight you down. You don't need it. It's time to jettison some things out of your life. Examine your heart right now. If there's something you need to let go of, tell Him, Lord, with Your help, I surrender this to you. I surrender it all. And just drop it over the side of the boat. Let it go. Don't let it slow you down or impede you from getting to Jesus. Do whatever you got to do, but get to Jesus this morning. Somebody else, you may need to come down here and pray with these folk. But listen, I want you to examine your heart right now and let it go. Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to jettison some things today. We're going to let go of some stuff that's been holding us back. Some stuff that's going to weigh us down to destruction, Lord. We're going to let go of it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we surrender it to you today. We surrender it to you today, Lord Jesus. Here it is, Lord. These things that have kept me back, Lord. These things that prevent me from being everything you've called me to be, Lord. I don't want them in my life. I'm going to throw them overboard, Lord. I'm going to let go of them today, Lord. And I'm going to get out of this boat. Let them go, and I'm going to walk with you. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you with everything, Lord. I give it to you today, Lord. Oh, encourage our hearts this morning, Lord. Encourage our hearts this morning. Encourage our hearts this morning, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Glory to your name.
In each of these storms. Do not be afraid when the storms come, because this is what God has told us will happen to all of us. But each one of us know that beside us walks the King of Kings, and he will carry us through each storm of life, no matter it be cancer, no matter it be illness, no matter what it be. He has the ability to lift each and every one of us up through the storms of life. And that is his message today to you. Don't get out of the boat.
Lord, we're going to trust you. Trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We only get out of the boat if you call us to get out, Lord. We're just going to be where you're going to be, Lord. You're with us in every storm. You're with us in every storm, Lord. Oh, listen. Folks, I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is. I talked to somebody this last week talking about a horrible time in their life, going through depression and despair, just unable to function. I know what that's like. You think, how am I going to get through this storm? How can I make it through this? And I know it doesn't make much sense, and I know I've wept and cried by the hour. Said, Lord, I know you're here somewhere, but I don't see you. I don't feel you. I've knelt and said, Lord, could you just let me go to heaven? Because I don't want to do this anymore. It's too much. I get it about storms. I get it. But in the midst of all that, I just kept thinking, but somehow, he's with me. If I don't see him, if I don't sense him, if I don't feel him, somehow he's with me, and he's going to take me to the other side. I know he's coming to me. I know somehow, if I can get through tonight, if I can get through today, if I can get through this minute, if I can get through this hour, if I can get through this season, it's going to be all right. Don't give up, folks. He's coming in the midst of the storm. Somebody here, it's just on your face this morning, just the heaviness and the brokenness. But listen to me. Don't give up. He's coming to you in the midst of your storm. He's going to get you across. He's going to be there. He'll calm this storm. There's hope for you. There's a day for you. There's a day for you. The night's going to pass. And it's coming. It's going to be all right. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. He's faithful and he's good. His promises are certain and sure. He's going to get you there. Hear him saying it to you this morning. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. I'm with you. I'm with you. In the boat, out of the boat, wherever. We're going to get there. It's going to be all right. Trust him. Trust him with it today. I've been there when the doc said, you know, that's cancer. Well, a little bit of a storm, isn't it? And once again, I've been there laying in the hospital at night thinking, if I can just get through this, if I can just get through this, the morning will come. The morning will come and it'll be all right. I'll get through this night and the morning will come. Somebody here, it's really dark. You may be sitting back there under our new lights back there. It may seem really light to you, but in here you know it's really dark right now. But I'm telling you this morning, the light is going to shine. The dawn's coming. The sun's going to come up. You're going to be all right. He's going to see you through this. He's going to see you through this. There's a break coming in the clouds, folks. God's up to something. He's going to turn it around. He's the one who changes even the nature of things, and He's going to change it for you. There's blessing coming. Father, I believe it in the name of Jesus. That is, not only have we prayed with folks down here, but as you've spoken to us this morning, I believe you, Lord, that in the midst of the storm, we're not overwhelmed by a storm. Our focus is not on the storm. Our focus is on Jesus, the one who walks on the storm, the one who calms the storm, the one who sees us safely through. Stormy seas, absolutely. But, oh God, there's a brighter day coming, and it's going to be all right. Let it be a certainty in the hearts of people here today, Lord. Circumstances may not change when they walk out the door. They may have to face some of the same wind and waves as when they walked in. But let there be a certainty that truly the Son of God is the master of the storm. You're walking with them, and we're going to get through this together. Link arms with Jesus, and we're going to make it safely. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.